It's 12:30. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert in for Craig Cohen. In Illinois public media news at this hour, Champaign City Council members have given their initial endorsement to a 2013 property tax levy that garners the same amount as last year. But because of decreased property values, the council has recommended a small increase in next year's tax rate. In last night's study session, council members voted 6-3 to levy just over $19,950,000. If granted final approval in December, homeowners next year would pay $1.32 per $100 equalized assessed value rather than $1.30. Councilmember Michael Adu calls this a conservative approach. He says levying a lower amount means a cut in Champaign's general fund and less for the city's public library.
We've got needs at the library now that suggest that they need to capitalize to sustain the role in the community that they now have, that people not only take for granted, but speak of constantly and glowingly.
Council members Deb Frank Finan, Karen Foster, and Will Kiles voted no, opting for a slightly smaller tax rate and levy. Mayor Don Girard says the decision was easy for him, but hopes the state follows suit by fulfilling pensions and other bills, letting the council reduce that levy in the next couple of years. Champaign City Council has set the timetable for hiring a new city manager. The council unanimously signed off on that process in the study session last night. Longtime administrator Steve Carter will retire at the end of March after more than 27 years with the city. The search will include the public's input throughout November, surveys and input gathering sessions that will culminate with the hiring set for next February 15th. Champaign has scheduled 3 listening sessions at different times of the day. They include gathering input sessions at 2 different times next Wednesday at noon and 7 p.m. and another lined up for Saturday the 10th at 10 a.m. Citizens can call in with their thoughts through a hotline phone number, electronic survey, and they can provide mailed surveys that are in the News Gazette. That process will run for about 2 weeks starting Friday. Carter says the city council will finalize the profile for the next city manager with a study session that's scheduled for November 27th. There's little hope left for the Jacksonville Developmental Center. A state board voted yesterday in favor of shutting it down. Amanda Vinicky has the latest.
The vote by the panel that oversees state health facilities comes as a disappointment to Republican State Representative Jim Watson, who's been fighting to keep the institution open. He sees it as Governor Pat Quinn not caring about downstate.
I feel like I don't know where we can turn from here. Losing that many jobs is the equivalent of the city of Chicago losing 60,000 jobs. 60,000.
Even before the vote, Quinn's administration has been steadily moving the developmentally disabled residents out of the JDC. Many are going to smaller group homes, a lifestyle some advocates say is much better than a large institution. But other advocates say those with severe disabilities need the particular 24-hour care an institution provides. The panel's 6-1 vote goes against the recommendation of the board's professional staff, which had recommended keeping Jacksonville open. Quinn's aiming to close the JDC by November 21st. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois election law could make some government workers and taxpayers feel like Scrooge on Christmas Eve. The Arlington Heights Daily Herald reports that December 24th is the last day candidates may file nominating petitions for the April 9th municipal elections, so a bureaucrat has to be at the office to receive them. Lawmakers could extend the filing period so libraries, schools, and park districts don't have to pay overtime costs. Christmas Eve is not a state holiday, but many local governments treat it that way. A spokesman says House Speaker Michael Madigan will address the matter in a common-sense way. Candidate filing periods begin 113 days before a municipal election and run 8 days to Christmas Eve in this case. State Farm Insurance is poised to start processing claims in the wake of Superstorm Sandy. State Farm spokeswoman Holly Anderson says the Bloomington-based company has sent its catastrophe vehicles to North Carolina and pre-positioned other assets.
We already have teams on the ground, in New York and New Jersey. They're just right outside the impacted area, so they can kind of move in. You know, we've got the largest claims team in the industry, and we're ready to roll here.
Anderson says the people who evacuated ahead of the storm can provide an example to Midwesterners about the importance of keeping an up-to-date disaster plan for safety. It's estimated that Sandy could cost up to $10 billion in damages. A significant portion of that was caused by storm surges and will be covered under a federal flood insurance program. Some experts arrived in New York yesterday to help the city recover from Sandy. Yesterday, the Rock Island District of the Army Corps of Engineers sent 4 members of what it calls the unwatering team. Herb Trix has more.
Rodney Delp, chief of emergency management for the district, says these engineers have helped pump out New Orleans after several recent hurricanes. And their job in New York will be to figure out how to pump water out of subway and utility tunnels.
There could be any variation of 5 feet to 40, 50 feet below ground level. So they have to determine the depth of the bottom of the opening they're trying to pump out, how high they have to pump it, and where the pumped water has to go.
And now that it sent some people, the Rock Island District is preparing to send equipment too.
And so we're inventorying our pumps, exercising them, and doing maintenance on them and getting those ready in case they get called into the New York area.
Delp says these engineers are experts in figuring out where the water is, how much there is, what pumps and other equipment will be needed, and how long it might take. I'm Herb Trix.
Police in the Chicago suburb of Naperville are investigating an apparent double homicide after finding the bodies of two children at a home. Sergeant Lou Camiso of the Naperville Police Department says officers were called to the home yesterday for a well-being check and found the children's bodies. He says investigators have someone in custody today and that possible criminal charges are forthcoming. The person in custody wasn't identified. Police say there's no reason to think any other suspects are at large. About 60% of Indiana schools are getting A or B letter grades for student progress, but about 7% receive failing grades that could position them for state takeover if they don't improve. The State Board of Education approved the grades for public, charter, and private schools across the state today. The grading system is based largely on student standardized test scores, graduation rates, and college and career readiness. Critics have argued that the rules for the grades are unfair and inaccurate. Education officials say overall 43 schools move up at least 3 letter grades. The state carried out its first ever takeovers last year of 4 public schools in Indianapolis and 1 in Gary after years of poor student scores. In sports, the Chicago Bulls hope to show they can get by without superstar Derrick Rose, starting with their season opener against the Sacramento Kings tonight. Both the Bulls and Kings finished the preseason with a 5-2 record. Sacramento missed the playoffs last year after going 23-43. The Bulls finished the season 50-16 before losing to Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs, which included Rose's injury. I'm Jeff Bosser, Illinois Public Media News.